Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. It's December 21st, 2004, and this is the time of miracles, right? Time of miracles, Christmas time. People believe in miracles. There's a survey out. A majority of doctors believe in miracles. We'll talk about that, and here's a question. Do miracles tend to increase faith or unbelief? When people see miracles, does it tend to increase faith or increase unbelief? And here's the second question that really only those who know the answer to the first will know the answer to this. Which three cities did Jesus do most of his miracles in? In which three cities? And then a follow-up to that, how did those cities respond to the miracles? Okay, now first, I want to talk about doctors and their belief in God and prayer and miracles, which is pretty fascinating. Our society is doing all it can. Our academia and the media, the liberal elites, the beautiful people who believe in tolerance, diversity, respect, multiculturalism, right? We're seeing the fruit now of 10 years of the age of tolerance where they can't even handle a Christmas tree. The beautiful people promoting their age of tolerance, they can't even handle a Christmas tree. Where America was founded by Christians leaving Europe because of religious persecution, and Bible-based Christians gave the world the greatest nation for religious freedom it had ever seen. We Christians did that, and Christianity is exclusive. Jesus said, it's my way or the highway. He said, you only get saved by me. I'm the only way to the Father. But it's the exclusive Christians that taught the world what religious freedom means. That's pretty cool. And the beautiful people promoting their age of tolerance cannot, this is the first time in history that an official holiday cannot be named in public if the beautiful people have their way. That kids would never learn even the name of the official holiday if it were up to the government or to the government schools. They wouldn't know that the day they get off is called Christmas. And why are they so tolerant? They can't handle. Which paper was it? Was it a Chattanooga newspaper had a recipe for Christmas cookies? And they published letters to the editor, people writing in saying that was so rude. You should have called them holiday cookies. I tell you, liberals are intolerant, aren't they? They're such hypocrites. They claim they support tolerance, multiculturalism, diversity, free speech. They're liars. Okay, so anyway, this national survey of physicians conducted by the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York City this week found that 74% of doctors, they surveyed over 1,000 doctors. 3/4 of doctors believe that miracles have occurred in the past. And almost as many believe that miracles can occur today. So that leads to this question I have. When people see miracles, does that tend to get them to believe or not believe? Do they tend to produce faith or unbelief? Now, this poll indicated that physicians are surprisingly religious, with almost 3/4 saying that they believe religion provides a reliable and necessary guide to life. And so even though they're more highly educated than the average patient, right, to be a doctor, graduate med school, that puts a lie to the liberal notion that education means that you find out that God is not real. At least that puts a lie to that. Education can do that. It depends on what kind of education you're getting. And if you're being educated by professors who hate God, then many of the students they graduate will end up rejecting God. That's not surprising, and that happens. Over half attend worship services at least one time per month, 58%. When asked how important prayer is in their own lives, a plurality believe that prayer is very important. For the public school teachers tuning in right now, I'm not going to explain what a plurality means. You have to look that up, write a report on it, send it in, we'll grade it. Religious conviction, especially a belief in the miraculous, often declines as the level of education increases, but with doctors, that doesn't happen. And so Business Wire put this story out, found this story on Google. It's from December 20th, yesterday. And Business Wire, the reporter who put the story together, offers an opinion, a guess. And he says, maybe doctors have more belief in God and prayer because they deal with matters of life and death frequently. That's in this article here, which is pretty interesting. Over a third of physicians believe that the Bible's stories of miracles are literally true. That's pretty good. Over a third. And 50%, half, believe they are metaphorically true. That leaves only one out of eight who say that they do not believe in the Bible's description of miracles at all. But it's the 37%, over a third, that's the group that's correct, that the miracles described in the Bible are historic, that they actually occurred. 9% believe the Bible was written by God. Now, only 9, that's less than 1 out of 10. But over half, 58%, believe the Bible was inspired by God. And that's what I believe. Right? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they wrote the four Gospels. Luke also wrote the sequel, Acts. So inspired by God, and the 9% who said that God wrote it, that's probably what they meant anyway. So let's make that 67%. Two-thirds believe that God was behind the writing of the Bible. Pretty cool. And over half believe that medical practice should be guided by religious teaching. That's just excellent. And most physicians pray for their patients as a group. And even more than that, pray for individual patients. So anyway, all right, docs, good going. My faith, pardon the pun, my faith in the medical community has just gone up a notch. A little notch there. Good going, guys. Now, the question about miracles. Do they tend to foster belief or unbelief? What do they promote for people who see miracles? And if you'd like, by the way, we have a pamphlet on this called Miracle Dynamics. And if you order anything from us in the next month or so, just ask for a Miracle Dynamics pamphlet. You will include one of those for you. If you like them, you could get them in bulk from us. But think about the Bible story about miracles. God did so many miracles through Moses. Remember that? He filled Egypt with undeniable evidence for the God of Israel being the true God. Yet neither the Bible nor history records Egyptian repentance, right? Did Egypt repent? No, they didn't repent. Only good riddance. They were glad to get rid of the Jews. And it was the God of Israel who was obviously real. Why didn't they say, hey, we want your God, we want to be on his side? Now, even more dramatic than that is consider the effect of all those tremendous miracles on the Jews, on Israel. Because God was doing the miracles on their behalf to free them from bondage and to bring them into their promised land. So the 10 plagues that were just, you read about them in Exodus, they're just extraordinary. And then the parting of the Red Sea so that the whole nation of Israel, over a million people, could escape the Egyptian army. And then the Egyptian army goes into the Red Sea that had parted, and the waters come back and drown the army, apparently kill Pharaoh. And then daily for 40 years, God appeared to the entire nation of Israel for 40 years. Now, you know what's coming, right? I'm going to ask you, what was the response to all these miracles that were observed by the nation of Israel? What was their response? Did they all repent and humble themselves and believe and trust in God, or did they reject him? So 40 years then of daily miracles, God appeared to the entire nation every day as a column of smoke and night after night as a pillar of fire. And the Lord kept their clothes from wearing out. He took care of them in the wilderness. For 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. Wow, that's before Florsheim and all that. They produced water out of a rock. Well, God did. Out of a rock in the desert, enough water for over a million people to survive. God fed the people with angels' food from heaven, supernaturally. And he brought meat on demand, literally filling their camp with quail. Yet with all this, what happened? Virtually the entire nation rejected God. Virtually everybody. The ones who trusted in God, it's like you could count them on your fingers. Remember Hebrews chapter 3? Well, warning, 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 Will Robinson, there are Bible verses up ahead. For those in the audience who advocate pluralism and diversity, we know here at Bob and Yurt Live that you would like to censor all references from the Bible, including all Christmas trees. So this gives you fair notice. Raw, unadulterated truth is about to be uttered. Okay, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 16. Speaking of the Jews who came out of Egypt, Hebrews writes this, "For who, having heard, rebelled? Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness?" In Numbers 32:13, "And he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation was gone, because they died in unbelief." They rebelled. They rejected God. They died in unbelief. The generation that saw the most miracles almost entirely rejected God. Now, isn't that different than what you would assume? You might assume that, hey, if people see miracles, they'll believe. And so then you think, well, why doesn't God do more miracles? Well, I know he does miracles in Thailand. I heard it on TBN. I heard that some guy in Thailand died and they raised him from the dead. But I've been to funerals of young children and elderly people, Christians, ministers. Why don't they get up out of the coffin at the wake? Why don't you hear, you're at the cemetery getting ready to bury the guy. He's in the casket. Why don't you hear banging on the inside? Let me out. Let me out. Jesus did great miracles and crowds followed him, but mostly they followed him out of selfishness. Of thousands who received his miracles, what percentage actually worshiped him? What percentage of those who followed Jesus, what percentage of them worshiped him? Well, think about the 10 lepers. They were actually healed, right? The 10 lepers were healed, and what percentage of them then believed? Of the 10 lepers who were healed, well, we don't know how many actually believed because the Bible doesn't say that, but it does tell us how many thanked him. Of the 10 lepers that Jesus healed in Luke 17, verse 17, only one even said thank you. And the Lord said, wasn't there 10? Didn't I heal 10? Where are the other 9? Generally, Christ's miracles did not win over the crowds, and you could read so many passages, we point that out in our flyer, Miracle Dynamics, or you could get the plot, our manuscript, our best-selling manuscript, 330 pages, overview of the whole Bible, and we have an entire chapter dedicated to this topic. And we list every single miracle in the Bible in a huge chart, and then you could see what the miracle was. And then in the second column, what was the response of the people who experienced or observed, witnessed the miracle? Even Christ's own city rejected him, the miracle worker, as their Messiah. Nazareth did in Mark chapter 6. Well, why would miracles lead to unbelief? Why does that happen? Well, think about this. You have two brothers, a 10-year-old and a 12-year-old. Let's call them Nathaniel and Josiah, all right? So let's see. Nathaniel says to his older brother Josiah, we'll probably have leftover spaghetti for lunch. I'm going to illustrate to you why miracles tend to produce unbelief. And Josiah says, no, we won't. There's none left. It's all gone. We finished it last night. Nathaniel says, no, there's still some spaghetti left over. Josiah says, you're wrong. It's all gone. And Nathaniel says, no, there's leftovers. And Josiah says, nope, we finished it. Nathaniel says, did not, did too. I saw mom put the rest in the garbage disposal. Nathaniel says, do you like being wrong all the time? And Josiah says, I'm not wrong. You're wrong. Nathaniel says, all right, I'll just go in there and prove it. And he comes out of the house with a serving bowl half filled with leftover spaghetti, and he shows it to his brother. Now, here's the question. Is Josiah happy that he now knows the truth? Is he happy? Here's the answer. No. Actually, Josiah is angry. Why? Because Nathaniel proved him wrong. It irritated him. We are human beings, and we're not basically good, as liberals think. They think that because they never read a history book nor a newspaper, so they think we're basically good. But people do not like the truth shoved into their face. Josiah may now know that there is leftover spaghetti, but he resents his brother for proving him wrong. Now, these boys are quarreling over a minor issue. But what's the reaction when the issue becomes more significant? What if it's more significant? Right? Often, the more serious the issue, the more a man will resent those who prove him wrong. Think about evangelism, witnessing. You have to believe in Jesus or you're going to go to hell. Evangelism sees the ultimate application of this idea that whoever rejects God is not typically eager for correction. Not typically. And when someone's heart is hardened against God, then a miracle shoves the truth in his face. His mind cannot deny God, just like those who said of Christ's miracles and the apostles' miracles, well, that a great miracle has happened, we cannot deny it. But we have to work to silence these people. Right? They couldn't deny the miracle. Pharaoh couldn't deny the 10 plagues. Him and his army, they couldn't deny that the Red Sea parted and the Jews just crossed through where the sea had been the day before. They couldn't deny that. So in their minds, they can't deny God, but in their heart, they can still resist him. And so what we have is the Bible's description of Pharaoh having a hard heart. The Bible says repeatedly that Pharaoh hardened his heart because God did miracles and Pharaoh saw the miracles, knew God was doing them, but resisted, so his heart was hardened. And then the Bible says later, and also it says, and God hardened Pharaoh's heart. Yeah, how did God do that? With magic dust, sprinkling it in his cardio sack? No, God hardened Pharaoh's heart by doing miracles. That's how he did it. That's how all the Jews in the wilderness had their hearts hardened, because they saw miracles every day and they rejected. So millions of people who have witnessed miracles have refused to repent. Now, in which three cities did Jesus perform most of his miracles? And what was the corporate response of those cities that saw his works? Well, if you notice, I asked that question earlier, and I didn't give out the phone number, right? Because maybe somebody out there would know the answer, but I don't have enough time. I got to get to the point. Which three cities did Jesus do most of his miracles? It was Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. If you go with us to Israel, go visit these places. And let me read to you Matthew 11, verse 20. Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. You see that? So the Bible tells us which cities Jesus did most of his works. And if miracles produce faith, then wherever Jesus did most miracles, you'd have most faith. But no, miracles foster unbelief. That's what they do. That's why God doesn't do daily undeniable miracles. He doesn't do them. In the Bible days, when God did a miracle, everybody knew it was a miracle. They just debated what to do about it. Nowadays, when people claim miracles, the vast majority of people don't believe the miracle actually happened. See the difference? You get the difference? People come up to me and say, Bob, God did this miracle in my life. And they tell me the story. And I say, it doesn't sound like a miracle to me. It sounds like you weren't taking care of your car. And then it happened to start one time. That happens to about a million unbelievers every single day. So Jesus, his miracles benefited the masses, yet entire cities rejected him. His very reputation for doing miracles hurt his own ministry. In Luke chapter 4, we read, so Jesus came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and they said, whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your city. So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath and rose up and thrust him out of the city, Jesus. And they led him that they might throw him down over the cliff. By the way, go to Nazareth today, and what a cliff there is there. It's a city on a hill, all right. And they hate Jesus today. The people live in Nazareth just like they did back then. In the city where Jesus did his first miracle, the people's constant request discouraged him. Remember Cana of Galilee? And so for that reason, he sort of chided Cana for their constant need, John 4:48, to see signs and wonders. They constantly wanted to see signs and wonders. It's a lust of the flesh. And Jesus was angry. He said that a wicked and perverse generation seeks a sign. He got angry at people for demanding to see miracles. In another region, Christ's extraordinary reputation and his visible authority over demons did very little to produce repentance. Just didn't do it. It's the opposite of what we tend to think. Now let's go to North Platte, Nebraska. Rose, welcome to Bob and Yart Live.
Well, hello.
Hi, Rose.
How are you?
Great.
It's nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
I've listened to your program often.
Yeah.
And I'm impressed with a lot of your insight.
Oh, you're so kind.
As a matter of fact, you said at one time that you were in the Catholic Church. And
yeah, I grew up Catholic.
So did I.
All right.
But I no longer, I guess I'm sort of interdenominational now and more leaning toward the Bible because I didn't learn a lot about the Bible in the Catholic Church.
Yeah, me too. Sadly, I went to 8 years Catholic grammar school and I was told evolution was true. And even that, and I'd asked the priest, the nuns, the mother superior, whatever she was. And I asked about reincarnation, and I was told, well, the evolution has been proved and reincarnation has been proved. So sure, you could believe in them.
I was told by a Catholic priest that reincarnation was not true.
Well, yeah, it's not the official position of the Catholic Church,
right,
that reincarnation is true. But my point is, it was such a liberal, St. Anthony's in Hawthorne, New Jersey. It was so liberal, the priest didn't believe in the Bible. The priest told us that the Bible was mythology, just like the Greek myths.
I've heard of that, too.
Yeah.
Bob, I'm a totally blind person, and I've always been interested in apologetics and so forth. And I find that I'm somewhat, you know, they don't, of course, Braille is bulky, and they don't have a lot of resources. I'm one, and you often mention videos like evidence for the resurrection,
yes,
and so forth.
Yeah.
But do you have audio tapes as well?
We have a number of things on audio tapes, like Genesis creation. We have. And
do you have one on predestination?
We have something on predestination, Rose.
Do you believe in predestination,
well,
Bob?
If you listen to it, all right?
If
you listen to this album, when you get done, if you're not dancing on your kitchen table, you get a full refund. That's our guarantee when you listen to the Predestination and Free Will album.
Bob, I just can't believe that God would predestine anyone to hell.
Well, do you have, you're totally blind.
Yes.
Can I ask you a personal question?
Sure.
Does that mean finances are tight?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well,
so,
I mean, you know.
So
no,
you're okay, but you're not rich.
Oh, no, by no means.
But you're not, but you're not suffering.
Oh, no.
Oh, praise God. Okay, that's great. Well, Rose, yeah, we do. Those two things right off the bat come to mind. Genesis creation and all Genesis of the flood is also awesome for apologetics and evidence for God. And then
evidence for God. Do you have one? I know you also did a debate about does God exist with an atheist. Of course, I don't have a computer.
Yeah.
So I couldn't access that.
Right. We have it. It's 130 page or so manuscript.
But you don't have it on tape, on audio tape?
We don't. One of the elders at our church, he's a law enforcement officer. He's been bugging me. He said, Bob, we got to assign roles and let people read that and get it on tape.
Oh, do you? Oh, I would like to have your voice.
Oh, you're so kind, Rose. Nobody's ever said that to me before. Not even my wife, I don't think.
I would, because I listen to you on the radio, you know, KLT.
Yeah.
Well, we can get it. Thank goodness you have your program on in the afternoon now.
Yeah, because it goes, it covers almost all of Colorado, and we get into 7 neighboring states, because at 50,000 watts, low on the AM dial, it's the most powerful Christian radio station in the country.
And I can get it here in North Platte at least during the day, about 5 or 6 o'clock in the wintertime, you can't get it
at
here.
At sundown, KLTT goes to lower power.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
All right,
Rose. Do you also have on the resurrection, and do you have on homosexuality on audio tape?
Well, actually, no.
You do not.
We have a video on witnessing to one particular homosexual who became saved. But, you know, a couple of our videos, we've had a number of blind people over the years involved with our ministry.
You have?
Yeah, and a number of our videos are pretty instructive for a blind person, because for years when we did Bob and Yart Live, we had radio affiliates simulcasting the show. So we were on TV in 80 cities and a few cities on radio simultaneously, and we often did the show as though it were a talk radio show.
Yes. So, well, of course, I listen to TV, I watch TV, as they say.
Yeah.
But I don't watch it too much. There isn't a lot good on except for some of the news documentaries I watch. Yeah. But I don't have a videotape machine.
I see. How about a DVD player?
I don't have that.
And you don't have a computer.
I just have a regular CD player.
You need a computer, Rose.
I don't have one.
Well, you know why? Because computers today, they will read. They'll read a book to you. They'll read it.
I am a Braille proofreader, and I bet you that they would read me print books, but I don't know how much something like that would cost.
You know what we have to find out? I know that, you know, with computers and all, the services are so extraordinary for handicapped people, but there are printers that you could print Braille to. So we could take one or two of our books, our pamphlets, and print Braille copies of our books.
Really?
Yeah, we got to find out how to do that.
I was interested in your sermon today, or in your program. You were talking about miracles. And how they actually produce unbelief.
Yes. Well, we'll finish this topic tomorrow. All right, Rose?
All right.
Thank you. I'm going to put you on hold.
Okay.
God bless you, Rose from North Platte, Nebraska. I want to tell people in Colorado about Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. What a great school, up to 12th grade. 431-5653. 5653.